Hello, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whenever and wherever you're listening, get ready for some fascism or nah. My name is Sam, and I'm going to be hosting today solo. Hopefully one day get some guests on here. We'll see. Stay tuned. But today, I'm going to be discussing a familiar topic to most, colonialism. Oh my gosh. Specifically, I'm heading to India and a little bit of America. Well, we're not going to America. We're talking about America and their imperialism in Africa and other places. It gets interesting. But we're also going to India, which I'm super excited about. We're going to dive into the works of Gandhi, Cesari, and Nehru. They're awesome because their words are super powerful. Like, I got some sick quotes for y'all, so get ready. And then I'm going to get their perspectives on World War II and how imperial exploitation from Britain and other European countries of their colonies shaped their views on what the world is all about. What the war is all about. Sorry, not the world. Well, they do kind of change their views on the world. But these men are basically going to be my guests on today's episode. I'm going to try and bring their words alive as much as possible. But I'm also trying to, you know, make a point on their perspective and if fascism was even, you know, if they even believe that the war was fighting fascism. Kind of a taste on the not so heroic part of World War II. I wish I could bring him back from the dead. But I'm going to, you know, it would be crazy to have Gandhi, Cesari, and Nehru just sitting around this table with me and just talking about fascism, World War II, imperialism, colonialism, all of that. I keep envisioning Gandhi trying to work this, like, fancy microphone in front of me and GarageBand, which is the system I use. It's not the greatest, but whatever. And it's just hilarious. Like, I'm, like, thinking, oh, my gosh, Gandhi making a podcast of his own. What? And he's all hipstery, got his, you know, getting all hipster. But anyways, I doubt he would monetize it, too. Or would he? We'll see. The writings of these men exploit the countries, the countless evils that have rained down on the colonized countries. So Cesari tears apart Britain and America in his book, Discourse on Colonialism. I highly recommend it. It's super short. And wow, he just, like, tears apart Europe. It's kind of cool. A lot of Hitler references. And not in a good way. I don't think there is any good Hitler references, but whatever. He just has some really good zingers on imperialists. World War II in his eyes and in the other men's eyes is not fighting against fascism, but a built up of atrocities of capitalism that led to someone like Hitler. You know, they lead up to this, like, creation of Hitler. It's a really interesting concept. And here's a specific quote from Cesari that I really, really like. And it goes, quote, "At the end of capitalism, which is eager to outlive its day, there's Hitler. At the end of formal humanism and philosophical renunciation, there is Hitler." This is not the only time that Cesari compares European countries to Hitler. He does it a lot in this book. He talks about, well, more or less yells about how colonizing and exploiting non-European countries was the beginning of Nazism. And he goes into how Europeans just turned a blind eye to this awful, awful imperialism. And, you know, just kind of played it off as, well, if we're getting more goods, our economy is going to be better. And they tolerated and almost embraced it because it just took place in non-European countries. It wasn't happening to the white man. And so why care? So, of course, Cesari did not see World War II as a war against fascism because the good guys were already fascist in a sense towards the countries they colonized. Countries like Britain and France came in with their own version of organic nationalism. Refer back to the first podcast if you have no idea what that means, or you can kind of Google it, I guess. They saw entire civilizations as sick and that it needed to be fixed with Western culture ideas. Does that sound familiar? While preparing for this podcast, all I could think about was the U.S. and Vietnam. A lot of you know that I'm obsessed with Vietnam. I took a whole class on it. It's awesome. Well, it's not an awesome thing that happened, but it's really, really cool to learn about, especially if you're a big American history buff. But Cesar actually brings up Vietnam a couple times in this book, which got me really, really excited because France was attempting to colonize Vietnam during this time. Totally look into it. They completely failed miserably. I mean, the U.S. did too, but wow, the French got annihilated. But back up to the U.S. We came in guns a-blazin' to enforce democracy on Vietnam. And like almost all imperial ideas, we wanted to help this sick society of Vietnam. This is a rabbit hole I might go down in a later episode, so stay tuned. I love talking about Vietnam. And I may not touch... I don't think the U.S. going in there is fascism, but I think a lot of it has to do with fascist kind of ideals. More on that later. Okay, cool. Moving on to Gandhi. Don't worry, Cesar is still with me in the hot seat. I use a lot of his ideas to kind of push this podcast for me because I thought they were awesome. But so before I hop right into Gandhi's words, it is super important that you understand how much Britain had exploited material from India. Not just material, food, weapons, like everything. They were just like, give it to me, oh my gosh. And basically, a year after this letter that Gandhi wrote, which was in 1940, famine struck in India. A ton of people died. India was untouched in this war, guys. You know, no one was fighting on their grounds. They were basically safe. But Britain kept taking and taking, even though they didn't need everything. They just kept taking because they could, because they had reign over them. And Churchill knew about all of this, and this led to the death of 3 million people due to famine. And Churchill did not give a hoot. At all. He really didn't care. You know, he didn't view Indian people as people. He saw their land and their resources. So, setting the stage of the greed and hatred of Europe, Britain, Gandhi, in a letter addressed to every Briton on July 2nd, 1940, he wanted them to fight a non-violent war. This proved to be ineffective later on, but he was trying to use examples in India of how you can do it like we do it, and we're using a nonviolent method to fight imperialism. And Gandhi saw the nature of war was to fight democracy, and he saw that as the demise of Europe. This quote, really, really awesome. So from Gandhi, quote, "You want to kill Nazism. You will never kill it by its indifferent adoption. Your soldiers are doing the same work of destruction as the Germans. The only difference that perhaps yours are not as thorough as the Germans." Oh my gosh, burn. He's saying you're doing everything that the Nazis are doing, but just not as good. And so that's why he goes into this nonviolence idea. And he stuck to his word of nonviolence and even continued to help Britain in the war while still trying to help fight imperialism. Talk about an overachiever. India, although, was, like I said earlier, was untouched by the war, continued to face Britain's imperialistic ways no matter how much they try to compromise. And in the famous words of historian of fascism, Mike Ortiz, revolution and compromise could never happen. Which is true. It really never happened during the World War II time period or during Gandhi's reign. But Nehru begged to differ. So after the Cripps Mission, where dominion status was trying to be demanded for India to Britain, it failed. Hence, revolution and compromise can never happen. Nehru wants Britain to free India so they could help them fight against the Axis. It's slightly complicated, but it ended in Nehru going to jail. Anyway, it is interesting to see his take on World War II. He sees that Europe could benefit from the help of India. He says, quote, "Most of us are too apt to think of Asia as backward and decadent because for nearly 200 years it has been dominated by Europe and has suffered all the ills, materials, and of the spirit, which subjection inevitable bring in its train." So he sees that Europe wrecked them. He knows that. He knows that imperialism, exploited them, and it just... it didn't allow for growth in India, but he wants to end Indian exploitation and for all other colonized countries, not just India. And this is his like a love letter to Europe. I don't want to say Britain totally, because he wants imperialism and colonialism to end everywhere. So he has like a lot of fluff in there, and he isn't as demanding and mean as Cesari is in his. Wow, Cesari is just like the most demanding person ever. Gandhi still, he had some pretty good low blows in there, but Nehru, he's just reassuring Europe that they will achieve their ultimate goal of defeating the Nazis and fascism if... Well, Nehru sees that this isn't the total reason the war is being fought, but understands that this is an easy way to seduce Britain to free India. He sees World War II will not end if imperialism continues, though. So he's saying, if you want to end this war, you need to free India. And he's doing all this right after the Cripps mission, not like a couple years down the road, because soon he just gets kicked out of his country. You know, he gets imprisoned. It's not good. But it's an interesting view on World War II. And he understands that they are trying to fight fascism, and he's not condoning fascism in any way. He just wants freedom. And his view on the World War is, they're not going to win without India, basically, or any colonies. So it's pretty interesting. But my final guest today, who will tie all the anti-colonialist views into a bow, is C.L.R. James. Taking kind of an interesting left turn, James writes like an 18-page pamphlet on why Negroes should not join the world war. It's interesting. It's 18 pages, and it's a little drawn out in my sense, but it does have some really interesting things that I've never really thought of when thinking of America and, you know, African Americans going to war for America in World War II. He sees the hypocrisy of imperialistic countries like Britain, but especially America, asking for African Americans to fight in World War II. He sees like the back-breaking imperial exploitation that has occurred all around the world. But specifically, this quote is awesome. I love it. Quote, "In America, in Africa, in the West Indies, over 150 million of Negroes bear on their bent backs and sweating limbs a burden greater than that of any people anywhere in the world. If this world is a great war for freedom and better life, the Negro should have been addressed before anyone else." He sees World War II as an imperialist war, not a war against fascism. He sees just the hypocrisy in everything. And he starts going on about Roosevelt. And this quote, I love quoting him because he's so, so powerful. So, quote, "Roosevelt and the American capitalists are not going to keep out when the other out of the war, when the other imperialist countries are fighting to divide Asia and Africa and the markets in Latin America. They have to be there to share the division," end quote. He sees the U.S. entering the war not to fight fascism, but to get their share in the colonies. He sees that America cannot handle not having the power. And speaking of colonies, how can we forget about Ethiopia? When Mussolini comes in and just slaughters the country because he's bored. James does not forget that. This quote is powerful. Quote, oh, but we must mean aggression. Oh, wait. Let me start over. Quote, oh, but we must mean aggression in four countries. Aggression by Mussolini, Hitler, and Japan, says Roosevelt and Hull. The Negro will immediately reply. And why, if you so hate aggression, didn't you help Ethiopia? Burn. Oh, wait, but I have another quote. When Roosevelt and the other so-called lovers of democracy protested to Hitler against his treatment of the Jews, Hitler laughed scornfully and replied, "Look at how you treat the Negroes. I learned how to persecute Jews by studying the manner in which you American Americans persecute Negroes." Roosevelt had no answer to that, yet lie will call upon the Negroes to go to war against Hitler. What more can I say? James was not about World War II. He wanted Africa free from imperial domination, from not only the fascists, but the democratic bandits. He wanted them free. He sees like Nehru that freedom of these colonies can help the war efforts more effectively. He sees like Gandhi that constant bloodshed is not the answer to this war. And he sees like Cesare that the hypocrisy of the allies in this war, Sorry, I'm exhausted. It's like 10 o'clock at night. It's 3 hours past my bedtime. The perspective of these men and these colonized countries cannot be overlooked about World War II. If you overlook these, even as a historian or as a normal person, I want you to really reflect on why you'd want to overlook these thoughts. These are humans too. The perspective of these men and these colonized countries just are so, so important to be looked at. And this war, by just looking at the European countries, is not the full way to look at it. And looking in a different lens of this just might teach you that there's always more than the eye can see in the Twilight Zone. Sorry, it sounded really Twilight Zone-y when I thought of it. But bringing this back to today, I know the media is crazy, the news is crazy, and there's all these different perspectives, but sometimes just think in the minds of someone else. Maybe plop yourself in that country that the media has been covering forever. And just think in the perspective of those people, or of the perspective of someone who lives in Japan, of America even. So I just want to end today's podcast with another note to think about. Where in this world going on today is the imperialistic big guns, we're going to save you in today's world? Is it right wherever this is happening? Please let me know. I really do thrive off of feedback. And, you know, reading Cesare, Nehru, James, Gandhi has really opened up my eyes. And I recommend reading any works by them. Some of them are radical. That's, you know, that's just the state of politics. But I just want to emphasize that Britain came in and just arrested all these men. They didn't listen to them. They were arrested. They were cut off from the war after 1942. So just think about that. So seeing this perspective before they were even in jail, I can only imagine what they think after they got out of jail. And as you know, after World War II, fascism, you know, failed. But just thinking about like these imperialist countries colonizing, isn't that just a little fascist too? Even though they were fighting fascism, hypocrisy, you know, and that's what I want you to think of. Is there a situation today where hypocrisy is the case, where even in their own country, their own methods are not reflecting what they're fighting in another country? And just let me know. I'm not a genius. I always love feedback and all of that. And on a side note, I did get a big girl job. Woo! And I start May 16th, and it's going to be crazy, and so my hours are going to be insane for a while. So I might fall off the face of the earth for a little bit. If you really, I'm going to try and hop back onto the bandwagon again. I will be working like 40 plus hours a week. So I might disappear for the summer, but I'll for sure be back in August with some really, really good ideas and a whole revamped podcast, hopefully, because I need to work on the tech side of things too. And hopefully I'll have some guests on, which will be awesome. But I just want to say have a great summer. Don't become a fascist. I don't think you will, but you never know. I don't know. It's a free country, right? Well, anyways, have a great night. Take care. And as always, don't become a fascist.